I give the floor to His Excellency Kosal Seya, Chairman of the Delegation of Cambodia.
Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, at the outset, allow me to warmly congratulate Excellency John Ash on your election as the President of the 68th Session of the General Assembly. My delegation has full confidence that under your able leadership, the new session will proceed to a successful conclusion in an efficient and effective manner. You can rest assured of Cambodia's full support and cooperation throughout your presidency. Mr. President, this year's session themes, post-2015 development agenda, setting the stage, is so timely as we have less than 1,000 days to reach the MDG targets. This development agenda will be one of the UN's most ambitious projects to date, where all the nations will be called to galvanize actions to help the world live up to our commitments to end poverty, educate children, empower women, and provide health services for all. While the overall picture is encouraging, we must also recognize that the progress in MDG's attainment has been insufficient and uneven. Poverty is still widespread, with more than 1 billion people living in extreme poverty. High maternal and child mortality rates are still seen in too many places throughout the developing world. Most developing countries still face many obstacles to achieve all the MDGs in the allocated time frame of 2015, being vulnerable to the global financial crisis, the debt burden, and the unmet ODA's commitments. It is high time for donor countries to fulfill their commitments concerning ODA. Debt relief is also one of the various financial assistance instruments which could increase the ability of developing countries to eradicate poverty. Furthermore, facilitating transfer of technology by developed countries to developing world play a critical role in helping them in the development efforts and accelerates the economic growth. In the case of Cambodia, MDGs are firmly embedded as the cornerstone of the country's development policy and strategies. From a nation whose entire population once faced abject poverty and hunger after emerging from war and genocide in 1979, Cambodia now has the numbers of its population living below poverty line drop steadily to 19.8% in 2011. The country is well on track, if not well ahead, in attaining its poverty reduction goal of 19.5%. In fact, Cambodia received a UN award for reducing hunger by half well ahead of the MDG target. In general, my country is well positioned to meet most of its Millennium Development Goals on schedule by the end of 2015, thanks not only to the government's correct approach and firm commitment, but also to sustained peace and political stability. Mr. President, with the advent of the MDGs, we observe that sustained and inclusive economic growth in developing countries is a key requirement for eradicating poverty and achieving the MDGs. In this context, my delegation highly appreciates the UN High-Level Panel of Eminent Persons on the post-2015 Development Agenda for its far-sighted report entitled A New Global Partnership, Eradicate Poverty and Transform Economies Through Sustainable Development. The report sets out a universal agenda to eradicate extreme poverty from our world by 2030 and deliver on the promise of sustainable development. Cambodia is of the view that the post-2015 development agenda should carry forward the spirit of the Millennium Declaration, which wants a balanced integration of the economic, social, and environmental dimension for sustainable development. Two, a determination to finish the work started out in the MDGs, particularly an aim to eradicate extreme poverty. Three, an emphasis on inclusive, equitable, and sustainable development and economic growth, aiming to effectively address inequality and the factor underpinning them. And four, a focus not only on global dimension, but also on regional dimension of development, while taking into account the particular challenges of least developed countries. In regard to the UN Climate Change Conference COP19 held in Warsaw next November, my country has strong hope that the conference will ratify the second commitment period of Kyoto Protocol by 2015. Cambodia highly values the developed country's continuous commitment to provide funds and technology to help developing nations tackle climate change in accordance with the UN principle of common but differentiated responsibilities. Mr. President, currently the global and regional peace and security are being threatened by conflicts, armed confrontations, and transnational organized crime, which take a heavy toll on many development efforts. Against this backdrop, Cambodia welcomed the signing of the Arms Trade Treaty, the first ever international treaty to regulate the trade of conventional weapons. Another security issue is the presence of landmines and other explosive remnants of war in our world today. This continues to pose constant real threat to human security and safety and hinders national development. Recognizing this serious threat, ASEAN leaders decided in Phnom Penh last year to establish the ASEAN Regional Mine Action Center to be based in Cambodia. On its part, Cambodia has spared no efforts to address the issue of landmines. My country has incorporated the mining and clearance of other unexploded ordnance, UXO, as its additional MDGs. Substantial progress has been made in realizing this goal, is demonstrated by a sharp decline in the number of mine explosion accidents in my country from over 300 cases in 2008 to 186 in 2012. As chair of the 11th meeting of the State Party of the Ottawa Convention, Cambodia also underlined its strong commitment to work toward a world free of landmines and UXO. Since 2006, Cambodia has made its contribution to the UN peacekeeping operations by sending its peacekeeper specialized in mine clearance to a number of countries in Africa and the Middle East, such as Sudan, South Sudan, Central African Republic, Chad, Lebanon, and very soon to Mali. Mr. President, on the situation in the Korean Peninsula, we welcome the positive developments between North and South Korea, which I hope would lead to significant improvement of inter-Korean relations and the resumption of the six-party talks. We encourage the DPRK to comply fully with its obligation to all relevant Security Council resolutions to cease its nuclear program. My country reaffirms its support for the Palestinian people's just demand for a sovereign and independent state of Palestine and for the two-state solution to the Palestine-Israel issue. We call on all parties to make efforts for the resumption of meaningful peace talk and remove obstacles related thereto. In regard to Syria situation, Cambodia strongly condemns human rights violations and the use of chemical weapons. My delegation fully support the resolution 2118-2013 adopted by the Security Council on Friday to destroy the country's chemical weapons. My delegation also urged for an end to the unilateral embargoes against Cuba that has caused for many decades untold suffering to the Cuban people. We express serious concern over the extensive forms of sexual violence inflicted to innocent women and children in armed conflict around the world. My country endorsed the Declaration of Commitment to End Sexual Violence in Conflict, launched last week on 24 September at a side event of this general debate. Mr. President, since the establishment of the United Nations in 1945, the global situation has changed so dramatically that there is an urgent call for strengthening global diplomacy. In this context, the reform of the United Nations should be comprehensive and cover not only the Security Council, but also other UN organs in order to maintain the relevance as an effective global governance institution to cope with the world's reality. The General Assembly should be more empowered so that it can play a leading role to strengthen the wider UN system, to improve the international governance, and to enhance multilateralism. At the same time, the ECOSOC should also be strengthened to effectively coordinate international cooperation and efforts to tackle social and economic challenges. The Security Council should be expanded in both permanent and non-permanent membership in an equitable manner so that it represents both the developed and the developing countries. There is an acute need for a comprehensive reform of the Council where real negotiation and compromise can take place. I thank you, Mr. President.